So today's topic is the six mindsets of excellent executives. Now, I know the first thing you're thinking is what? I'm going to make you guys unmute and talk to me today. You guys don't really want to listen to me for an hour. That's a lot of listening to me. Sean, Gerlin, when I say the six mindsets of excellent executives, what pops into your head? There's no wrong answer, by the way. It's just an open-ended quiz.
I don't know. I would say diligence, focus.
Great. So those are good starts. I was actually expecting you to say, I'm not an executive. I'm an advisor. I told you there's no wrong answer. I was going to get there anyway. I'm really just starting this call with you guys participating because again, you have so much to engage with each other around. How does this apply to you as an advisor? Do you have a mind? Yeah. Do you have a mind? Yes. Anyone here not have one? Let me know. We've got something in the library. No, I'm just kidding. So I said there's always something in the library. Maybe not that. Do you lead?
Yes.
All of you lead. If you're on your own, you have the hardest job of all because it's peerless. And most of you, unless you're in a firm with advisors or right CEOs actual above you, when you have that, you have someone to talk with and to when the need arises. And did you notice that when you're on your own and you're the chief everything officer, as we like to say, that's what the CEO title means in small businesses. In big businesses, it means lots of leverage. In little businesses, it tends to mean the opposite. And so when we talk about our mindset, as we, you know, so much of that is so important to the work that we're doing, the ways that we can accelerate our success. So I want you to look at this not through the lens of I'm not an executive, but through the lens of I am someone who is responsible for my revenue, all of my business operating decisions, and as a result, the profits that come out, right? Which is while delivering value to clients, which is the goal of a leader. We agree on that? So what are the mindsets? So one of the really interesting things about this is a conversation based in research, which I love because we know we love this mindset thing around here, but we also don't want it to be an airy fairy woo woo thing where you're like, yeah, it doesn't really apply to me. You're human. It applies to you, right? And so the check-in here is the CEO role in general is more important than ever. So McKinsey, famous for their research, basically surveyed like 7,000 CEOs, right? Deep filter and figured out now for the first time, if I said, when I opened the call and I said, Sean, what are the six mindsets of CEOs? What did Sean say? What were his first two? Does anyone remember? John, you want to remind us?
I think I said focus and diligence.
Focus and diligence. Roseanne, how about you? If you were going to say, this is what makes a successful CEO or leader, what would you say?
For a leader, focus and vision.
Right, focus and vision. Todd, Bessie, how about you? What makes a great leader?
They can delegate.
Delegating, great. Kevin Murray, how about you?
Flexible.
So what do we notice? Did anyone come up with the same answers? Focus was consistent, so we're right. That we all agree that's pretty important. That's been the problem. What makes a great leader? In this case, right, in the role of executive, right? Revenue, right? Running that business unit. And what they found out is there are actually six mindsets. So you can imagine my delight when I read this research and found out that the big takeaways were mindset. So the six mindsets, here's what they found out in general. One, I think we all agree the CEO role is more important than ever. Your role as a business person is how I want you to frame that for yourself. Is more or less important than ever, Isaac? More. Yes, I see. I know you guys are all don't want to have your mute so we don't have to listen to everyone's background, but it's super important. The world is changing. Tech is changing. The face of the profession is changing. The leaders group and I are going to spend the rest of the week, the back half of this week together, talking about the modern CX, what's actually changed, what's the firm of the future going to look like, what are the trends that are already starting and what's coming, and then we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to design the firm of the future across all the phases of the life cycle. And we'll bring you the summary of all of that at the August retreat, most likely similar to what we're doing here. But Isaac was there, like we spent 2 days really talking about how to manage our teams, how to manage our businesses and our performance, and how to manage ourselves as leaders. This is, are you guys ready for this? Very few people excel at this job. How many of you love it? A few of us do. The rest of you very sane people are like, let me show up to great work and could everything please just work out. So your job as an advisor, especially on your own or within a firm where right, you don't have total decision-making, is you have to figure out how to excel as a business owner, operator, leader, so that every bit of your time, energy, and capital, your resources are harnessed to the maximum and that you're best prepared to deal with, right, opportunities and crisis because they are the same exact thing. How many of you are a little afraid of ChatGPT? Yeah, because it's going to do like half of your job in under 3 years. Like, go ahead and write that one down. Like, people will be printing out plans and bringing them to you and saying, I know it says it's okay, but is it really okay? Right? The humaning side of advice and the value of that partnership and the client experiences where we're seeing the changes, those all have nothing to do with your talent as an advisor. Where the future is all about the container that you deliver that awesome sauce through. That's why this conversation becomes really important, right? The tools and the strategies and the solutions are there to back it up. But if we don't have the right mindset, we won't make the decisions that are most aligned with the goal or most advantageous, even in bad situations, because it's not always sunshine and roses, is it, Sharda? Sometimes markets drop or you lose clients or staff don't work out. And then, oh no, you have to deal with it. Our mindset determines how and how aligned we deal with it. So what we also found is you guys will so appreciate this. Being a CEO is much more about spinning plates than silver bullets. Does anyone connect with that? Like, don't we want, we're like, if Christian, if I can just get this thing, everything will be okay. But it's never just that, is it? Never. It's like the 9 things that you're managing at any given time, which we talk a lot about in terms of right focus and clarity and all of that. So the research was really extensive, really well done. If anyone wants a copy of it, you can Google it, but we've got the paper. Here are the 6 mindsets of the world's best CEOs. And what they call out is that these mindsets apply if you're not the CEO of a big company. This is, again, a conversation about how we sit in the leadership seat, which you're all doing every single day. So 1, these aren't going to surprise you, but we're going to go through them. Then we're going to do some breakouts to talk about them and come back, because this is just, we're not making any more work today. No new assignments. Awesome sauce. Today, we're just sitting with ourselves and we're reflecting on how we're showing up as a leader, what the business needs from us as we move forward, and what lessons can we take away from the research around the best leaders in the world. 1, who wants to shout this out one for me? Edwin, what's 1?
Direction setting, how about that?
That's right, look at that. Be bold, what is the takeaway? Be bold. Now, when I say that, what does that mean to you? Laura, when I say direction setting, we need to be bold, what pops into your head?
Take risks.
Yes.
Do stuff that scares the shit out of you.
Yes. How many of you have had your knees knock this year in Limitless at least once? That's the work, ladies and gentlemen. If we don't make you uncomfortable, we're not doing our job. Your job when you get uncomfortable is to do the work, not to retreat, not to hide, not to get distracted and say, hey, I've got some decisions to make. And when we get in that place of clarity, as you've heard me say 1,000 times, when the vision is clear, the decisions are easy. Hey, the world is changing. I'm going to need to be prepared for this. Yes or no? Yes. All right. How can I prepare for it? Great. I need to know. It's like, so it might be, right, the landscape of everything that's changing. It might be a problem in your business. Being bold doesn't always mean, to Laura's point, we're not taking wild risks, right? And doing dumb stuff. That is not what it means. What does it mean, Darren?
It's a good question.
Great. Well, I love that. Honesty is the best policy.
Honesty is the best policy.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes things that are risky are viewed as dumb, but you have to have the belief that it's not.
Exactly.
And follow your own convictions.
Yeah. Calculated risk is what I like to say. As a business owner, if you are not willing to take calculated risks, your progress will be incremental, because incremental effort gets incremental progress. Big moves can have great big downsides, but they can also have big upsides. What I've experienced from when I started my firm, at my first firm at 24, was I afraid of anything, Jan? Like, I was like, let's do it. Why? I had zero to lose. I had an apartment and a Honda Accord. That was it. Then you get to a place and then you're like, well, I have a nice practice. Do I really want to shift the client model? Do I really want to raise the fees? Do I really want to invest in these things? Like, it's okay and comfortable. And that is the worst place to be, not from a place of us pushing you to do the bigger, better thing, but just being really clear that there's a difference between comfort and complacence. And you have in Limitless the opportunity to pick up the rock and look under every single one of those 100 pieces of your practice. And you don't even have to do them all to excel, right? The core 22 lessons on your program map, right? Whether you're year one or year two, you want to get through all of those lessons. And then there's 80 more advanced lessons for you to go back and go deeper and do more or do better where it fits, not all of them. You don't need a client advisory board to have $1 million 100-day off practice, not required. But once you, right, you're in a good track and you're like, hey, I think that would be good. It will help with referrals. It'll help me get clear. Then absolutely, that's there for you. So here's what I want the takeaway to be. If you're going to write any one thing down, direction setting is about having the boldness to intentionally shape your firm's future. Which means we don't just get up every day and do our work and be like, hey, good job, me, go me, right? That's why we do the strategic planning. That's why we do the quarterly roadmaps. That's why we sit down once a month if we're in a mastermind or with our team, right? It's why we do weekly check-ins. Like, we need to make sure that we set a clear course and we stay on track. So that's number one. Can you think of a place in the last 12 to 36 months, COVID, post-COVID, where you could have maybe been more bold? As you reflect on the market changes, the opportunities, now with the benefit of hindsight and not having been eaten by the tiger, even now we can look back and say, where could I have been more bold? And we're going to give you an opportunity to do this in a little bit and talk with each other. But I want you to cast that shadow forward and say, Christian, where can I be more bold? Sean, where can I be more bold? Not stupid, bold, calculated risk. So here's the yardstick I use all the time when making big, scary decisions. Sometimes little ones. Does what I stand to gain outweigh what I stand to lose? I don't know where I came up with it. It popped in my head one day, but I was like, what am I going to get out of this? And then, you know, I like the back end, like what could go wrong and then what could go good, because our brains only give us half the story depending on the state of mind we're in, right? If we're in a good state of mind, it's like, Laura, this is the best idea ever. Go do it. And Laura's like, sure. And we didn't do that. Like, maybe I should check myself and see if this is a new shiny idea or if this is really me being bold, because they're not the same thing, right? So can we sit in a space and ask ourselves, where do I have opportunities to more actively shape the firm's future? That's exactly what you're doing here, by the way, right? We're just breaking it down and trying to make it easy and palatable and have a community and make it a lot less scary. But that's essentially what you're doing, is you've hit the giant I'm going to be bold button. This year's about using the button, because it's not an easy button. It's an easier button, but it's not an easy button. Two, alignment. Treat the soft stuff as hard. This is cultures, values, vision, client experience. That stuff turns out actually matters a lot, according to the research. So, right, taking time to have our check-ins, communicating with people, all of those things, where some of you are really naturally good at that. And some of you are like, hey, I showed up and I did the work, you know, they'll figure it out. And we really want to look at, what's the culture? Have we shared the vision? Is everyone invested in it? Do they know why they matter? Are we having those conversations about priorities quarter? Like, are we actually doing the things to create an intentional alignment around culture, right? And the soft stuff, the people side of it. Can anyone think of a place where, Adam, you've been going through staff changes, right? Like alignment, like it matters, right? Having all those pieces in place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't say no. It makes me look really bad. No, it didn't matter at all. So anyone having any issues around alignment, soft stuff issues, right? This is where we want to pay attention. People and culture, we treat them like hard stuff. That's why we have job descriptions and compensation plans and, right, annual compensation summaries and all, right, career ladders and performance reviews and check-ins, because we need to create a structure, a system to support the soft stuff becoming part of the routine and the process. That's why we do those things. So number two is alignment. Number three is mobilize, solve for the team psychology. Number four, help, we're gonna go through these in a minute. Number four, help engage directors, help the business. That would be your team and your scenario, right? Let's make sure we set everyone up for success and or outside partners and centers of influence. So we'll talk about that. Connection, I know this is a big surprise. Starting with why actually matters, not just by the way on the vision, but hey, what are we going to do next? And why, Rosanna? Hey, I'm working on my service model project. Okay, why? What is the outcome that we want to get? So remember those on-purpose project planners that we shared with you? Right, those ensure that the why for each project is there at the beginning so that you're very clear on what you want to build out, why you want to build it out, so that you know the outcome that you want to create. And number five is effectiveness. This is not going to be a big shock, but I love that there's now very substantial research to support it. They only do what they can do and they delegate. I think someone said delegate earlier. They delegate pretty fiercely. Now, they obviously have, right, executives and teams. What does that mean to you is the conversation. How do we bring that same fierceness to the conversation? So number one, be bold. Great CEOs embrace uncertainty and realize fortune favors the bold. They collectively and actively try to shape the future of the company. So take a moment, think of one place, write it down because you're going to share these in a couple minutes, where you could be more bold as you focus forward. I'm not saying you have to do it, by the way, just write an idea storm, if you will. Jeff, you and I just talked. I know you're doing some bold stuff. Do you have good clarity around that? Why? I know you do because we talked about it. But yeah.
It may still prove to be stupid and not bold. Just
well, but stupid is always in hindsight if it doesn't work. And that's also a judgment because oftentimes, how many of you have ever started anything and it like on a business and at the end of the year, it happened exactly the way you thought or the project unfolded exactly the way that you thought? Has that ever happened to anyone? Like, I don't have that lucky penny. And so when we want tracks, right? Those guardrails, if you will, but we also want to make sure that we're holding ourselves in the business to a standard. So we want to be bold. We want to take calculated risks. You know, what's this going to take? What's it going to mean? What are the, right? What do we stand to gain? What do we stand to lose? How do we account for those things along the way is very different than, hey, I saw this new tech. I want to implement it. Seemed cool and shiny. Right. So sometimes boldness is in more subtle ways, but it's executing around the things that are ultimately going to matter. Treating the soft stuff hard, as we talked about, this is one of the things that the best leaders do. Interestingly, one of the subsets of that research found that they didn't treat everyone like a cog in a wheel. So while they may have systems and structure to make the soft hard, right, part of the routine and the process, they were able to treat and approach people differently, right? Think about the DISC profiles, right? Those communication styles, how were some people, for example, I was coaching with one of you yesterday, is having a partner conversation. And in order, you know, like not everyone can sit in that moment and be like, here's exactly what I think just off the hat. Some people really need to take stuff away, right? I was having that conversation with one of you around staff and I was like, prep that person, have the conversation, let them know you're gonna be talking about it, give them time to reflect on it afterwards, come back to you, Otherwise, right, their style might be different, right? Some of your people can instantly have those conversations and feedback, and other people need time to prepare. So again, things to think about there. Solve for team psychology. We form and lead effective teams. This could be a part-time virtual assistant or a team of 25 or 2,000. But it's really about how do we make sure everybody works better together. So Stephen Covey has one of my favorite quotes, and it is, the whole point of a team is to leverage each other's strengths so that our weaknesses become irrelevant. Wow, that's pretty cool, right? Instead of being like, you're not this, or you're not that, you're not supposed to be that. That's somebody else's job. You are supposed to be this and you're really good at it. So really effective leaders obsess, meaning they really think about, care about, and invest in how their team is doing. Notice that of the first three, two of them have to do with people. Why is that, Laura?
Caught me multitasking. Why two of them have to do with people? That's how we're going to be successful by, well, obviously clients and dealing with them as people, but even delegating. I have a meeting with my virtual assistant today and we're really communicating a lot to make sure.
Yeah. Are you having those conversations? Remember, everyone is just trying to get their needs met. If you are not getting what you want out of a team member, or they're not loving it and you're not loving it, somebody's needs aren't getting met. Theirs, yours, or the business. And our number one job as leaders is to solve for that, not hide away from it, not shrink it, to unpack it and say, hey, this is the situation we need to tend to. What happens, you guys have heard me say this a few times now, if we have negative situations and feelings that we don't tend to, what is inevitable? Somebody say breakdown.
Breakdown.
There's going to be a breakdown. Have you think about your business, think about your life. When we don't tend to things, there's inevitably a breakdown. So this is a moment to sit and say, when I think about my team, right, that psychology, how we're engaging, is there an opportunity for me to take action in a way that will better solve for my team's mindset and psychology, right? So that they're clear, they're focused, they're empowered, they're above the line, I'm getting my needs met. Laura, right? If you're not, I can sit down and have a communication with that person in a structured, non-judgmental way. Hey, the position needs, here's what I'm getting. Like, we need to fill in this gap. How can we work on that together, right? Create clear accountability without blame and judgment. That's treating the soft stuff hard, right? This is making it a priority to sit in the seat of thinking about, how's our team doing? Are we really leveraging them to the utmost? Like, have I been really clear, Todd, on everything I want you to do? Have I given you the job descriptions? And the, like, do we really know what we're doing, why we're doing it, when it's supposed to happen? And does the team know that? Do we have that common language that we're always managing too? So team psychology, very important. Helping directors help the business. This is obviously the team will apply here, but this is around your board of directors. Who's your board of directors if you're in a mastermind? Answer is embedded in the question. It's your mastermind. It's limitless. Like, you have a group of people here to give you outside feedback. When you're in a peerless job, why do CEOs with great executive teams and all resources, why do they have boards? Because they're one person, and having a sounding board or a strategy place, like Michael Kitsis has a gigantic brain, right? We're not talking, like, we do talk strategy in our coaching calls, right? But it's having a safe place, like, to have that sounding board process, right? No judgment, just totally in. That's really valuable. So if you're in a mastermind, that's really one of those pieces. If you're not, find a buddy. Limitless and the coaching team are here for you when we're looking at roadmaps, when we're giving you feedback. That's right, sitting in that board seat and saying, what's the vision? Where do we want to go? What are the choices we need to make? What are the actions that need to happen? How do we hold ourselves and our team accountable? So it's really about, do you have a board of directors? Because you're in a peerless job and it gets hard and lonely. And it's so easy to do when there's no one there holding over, like lording over you every day. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to do fake busy work. It's easy, right, to not do the things that really align with the direction that we want to go. Start with why. Great CEOs connect with all of their stakeholders. When we think about centers of influence, when you go to that lesson, what do Tiff and I start with? We start with why. Like, hey, here's the relationship. Here's why we do what we do for our clients. Here's why we would like to have this conversation with you. So can we do that for all of the stakeholders that are relevant to our business? And that starts with you, by the way. What was the first thing we had to do this year? Somebody remembers. Very first thing we have you do.
Define our big why.
That's right. Absolutely. And why do we have you do that?
So that can lead us through the rest of the year.
Exactly. That is the goal, right? This is what I'm building. Think about these other lessons through that lens. If this is my big why, where can I be bold? Where can I solve for team psychology? Where can I build my support team around me? Where can I make sure that that clarity exists at every part of my business? Hey, we're doing a fee schedule review. Why are these our fees? Why are these our fees relative to the competition? Like, can you answer those questions? You should know, like, these are my fees because I'm priced at the middle of the market or the top of the market, and I think I'm worth it, or I don't think I'm worth it. Like, hey, this is like, do we have that clarity? Well, sometimes people, Lord, don't think they're worth it, but that's the honesty piece. Like, oh, why is this my fee schedule? Because when I said it, I didn't have the confidence I have now, or the team behind me, or the coaching community, and I probably need to take a look. Right? We could pick anything in the business, your service model, your sales process, your staffing model. Start with why, and then the end is always clear. I don't have to spend too much time on this one because we have an entire program built around doing only what you can, right? Energy creating, revenue producing work. They prioritize their most critical issues, they do them, and they delegate everything else. You're not an executive with, right, a big team per se. Some of you do have teams around you. You all have the ability to have outsourced resources and partners. And that's essentially what you want to build around you to create opportunity for you to spend more of your time on those energy creating revenue producing activities. So it might be starting with someone 3 to 5 hours a week to do basic stuff and then expanding it to 10 and then hiring someone. Or it might be looking at your current team and asking yourself, is everyone really hitting on all 8 cylinders? Like, are we really, and am I only doing the things that I can and should be doing that are really impactful to the business? And that's okay if the answer, it's not going to be no to everything. Like, there are going to be places where there's still opportunity. And that's the reflection point here. Where is there opportunity for me to not do something that is not leveraging, right, my leadership role? Where is there a place for me to create more delegation? How was everyone's session? Did you get some good takeaways?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Yeah. So let's just do that. We've got, what, 15 or so minutes. I thought it would be good to just spend some time talking through what were your areas where you were strong, where were areas where you were least effective, and where did that create takeaways or insights for you based on that discussion? I'm just going to just randomly call on some people. Sam Armour, you're there.
Hey, man. Yeah, candidly. Hi, Steph. Candidly, we were really strong at not following directions. And I think our group, we had a nice little mastermind.
Great.
It was wonderful. It was
awesome. Wonderful.
Get to meet some folks. And Rashawn.
What were your key takeaways from that?
Well, yeah, Rashawn showed us how he's using ChatGPT. I know it's a week early, but it was great. And that came out of Ramin asking or talking about being bold with his marketing.
Great.
Anyway, yeah, I feel like we didn't stick to the schedule, but it was an excellent.
You know what? Some of the best conversations, like if that was what felt like the conversation and you guys dug it, then that's cool. You still have all that right in the back of your head around how it is, like being bold is like, maybe it's, like I said, it doesn't have to be some massive swipe of the pen. It might be like, I have to show up and do the work in a way that I haven't before. Yep. And that's what big and bold actually means in the future, boring and consistent. We think bold and we think, you know, oh, we're going to do this. We're going to start change the world and we're going to change, you know, and we are, it's amazing. But sometimes big and bold is show up and do the boring work because that's how stuff gets done. So I love that you guys focus the time in a way that felt good to you. I always say, follow the flow. If you're there and you're engaged and it's working, I'm not going to judge it. So like, is there one mindset that showed up through any of that?
Anybody in my group answer that better than I can?
Ramin, what about you?
Yeah, so as Sam said, I think we kind of did our own thing a little bit, which is really helpful. But maybe my biggest takeaway was being deliberate about what I'm trying to do, as opposed to looking at maybe what others are doing and trying to do too much all at once. So our conversation started with me being pretty critical on myself about the be bold part. And I had marketing in my mind when I was thinking about being bold. So it provided a lot of clarity for me. As Sam said, Roshan shared a lot and everybody had some really good insights. So it was super helpful, actually.
Great, great. All right, Melissa, how about you? Ms. Marshall, how are you today?
Really? I am not doing well. I mean, as you know, I feel like my practice is a dumpster fire, so.
What'd you guys talk about in your group? First of all, can we just have a moment of community around Melissa? Has anyone here ever like struggled and just felt like you just couldn't get it out of gear and you felt like you really, really, really needed to? All right, so Melissa is in that spot and we're here to help. Like, so if you guys can reach out or anything, but like Melissa, one, I just really appreciate the honesty. I know it's a struggle, but that's why I called on you. Like, you're also in a space. Like, what did you observe anything in that conversation around like kind of getting the growth engine going?
I can't even speak, Stephanie.
It's okay. Hey, virtual hug. We're going to let that, we'll all follow up with you. I just want you to know that we've all been in a place. I literally remember like I had $3,000 in my retirement account and I had to cash it out. And I was either going to go use that money to go get a job or I was going to use that money to get off my depressed ass because I'd been through a divorce and I was going to like, I had 1 month to like get myself in gear and figure it out. So you and I will follow up separately, but I just wanted to check in on like, what you took away from that conversation. And I know you're struggling and that's okay. We understand that.
Hey, Stephanie, can yes, I share? Melissa, back in, geez, when would it have been? It's a long time now. Back when I was with Dean Witter, I was very close to leaving the business just because I did not fit into that culture, was struggling. My wife was telling me, you're too honest to be in this business. Just horrible garbage that was going on in that firm, which... One example, one of the people finally a few years ago was arrested and sent to federal prison for stuff he was doing. But anyways, like I said, I just almost said, I can't do this. And I almost left the business, but I hung in there, powered through, got out of Dean Witter and ultimately to where I am now. So don't give up hope. I'm not telling you it's going to be easier tomorrow, but don't give up hope. If you're continuing to do the work, it's probably going to get better for you. And I think doing what you expressed in our breakout was a bold step that it doesn't feel like right now, but will pay off for you down the road. Hang in there.
That's great. I put a note in there, but I just really appreciate you taking the time to show Melissa that support. Sometimes it's really hard to feel like you're struggling alone. When we talk about that peerless job, when you're excited, you get to tell your friends and your family, but when things are really hard, it's hard. So Melissa, you know, I'll follow up. We're going to talk later this afternoon. All right. Let's see. Leo, how about you? How was your group?
My group was with Kevin, Melissa, and I believe Laura. So we talked about, I think everybody seems to be in the same spot. Everyone needs to be bold about bringing more assets, being authentic with themselves when they take those chances.
Oh, I love that. Authenticity.
I think we all have the same worries, and Melissa too. We've all been there, and we are now trying to find what I call, and we share in the group, relaxed success, where we have a system and a process. We're so bold. We make the right decisions as the owners of our business, that it works better. The systems work better. We're bold enough to make the right decisions now, whether it's marketing, how we do it, with our relationship, with our team, one person, virtual assistant. So we all share the same thing. And I was going to say to Melissa, when I moved from Merrill to Independent, I remember one check was $300 when I had to pay the mortgage. So, and one thing, one person told me, people who are resilient are successful in this business. So I thought we had a good conversation. We shared similar stories, and yep. We want to be bold, be successful.
Yeah, be bold is, I think, the one that, like, we all know the rest of them, like, genuinely, right? We don't always execute on them perfectly, truly. But the be bold one, I think, is the one that, if we're honest, sort of resonates with some piece of us, because it, like, hits us and it just kind of vibrates through us. And you kind of know, like, oh, yeah, here are places where. And so I think, again, a lot of those conversations did you guys find that a lot of you be bold showed up in marketing, or did it show up in other ways?
Be bold in marketing is pretty marketing. Common in ours.
Yeah. What was the marketing conversation? When we think about what's being bold for some of you mean?
For me, I know with the marketing was just the ask with COIs, like turning a COI conversation into, hey, this is something we can turn into building a business, but yep. Transitioning it to, now that you've referred to them, making that ask and say, okay, is there anyone that you could see us helping?
Yeah, because in our heart, like, we want to have the conversation, right? But what does our brain tell us? We can't have that conversation. Mm-hmm. It's too pushy. They're not going to respond. They're not going to send you clients. And then my little brain goes, yeah, but they're not sending me clients now, and I'm sending them clients. Like, what's the downside? There's literally no downside to asking someone to give you something that you're not yet getting. The worst thing that happens is they say, no, Christian, and I'm never going to talk to you again. And that usually isn't the outcome. So did you guys find, as you were talking, especially around being bold, marketing comes up, authenticity comes up, like really pulling the levers comes up. And when we sit with that, what's the opposite of fold? Like, what's the feeling state that keeps us from being bold more often?
Fear.
Like, Adam's like 100% on point. Melissa, right, is right in a place where she's struggling. And so our brains go into, it's not going to work and it's really hard. And she's processing all of those emotions. I have been there. And they're not all far away, by the way, right? Where you just sit down and you're like, ah. And our brains, how many of you were on the overwhelm call with Liz? Was that helpful? You guys, I want you to know, I was so proud, because that's literally one of my favorite conversations, because it hits you all and me so hard. And Liz is such a great coach that I really wanted her to just own that call. And that was, like, for me, like, one of those, like, hey, I don't have to be the one that's doing, like, that was a be bold move for me, because I just love that conversation. Elise, my coach, and I did that conversation. Like, I live that conversation. And so for me, it's like, hey, I need to, like, let other really awesome people, like, sit in that space and take you through cool things. So that was a be bold for me, because I just was like, I don't even need to be in this call. And my little brain was like, but you have this story and you want to make sure that they hear this. And I was like, she got this. And I'm going to guess by all your responses that she got it. So where are there places, whether it's leadership or team or boldness, that you can show up? Did you all walk away with something? Jan, how about you? And then Todd, I'm going to ask you next, because you leaned in a nice way and it caught my eye on the screen. I know, he's like, now everybody's like, I'm leaning back.
Yeah, it was fun. The way that our team did it is we went through the 6 mindsets, and we each just kind of rated ourselves. So it was interesting hearing other people rate themselves and their thoughts behind it.
Right.
And being bold, there were some that were very bold. There were some that were working on bold. So it was just interesting, as usual, hearing people talk. So.
Which one landed the most with you?
Well, actually, the one that landed the most with me was number 2, which was alignment. Treat the soft hard. Yeah. I feel like I do a really good job with building a strong relationship with clients, a strong trust that people want to work with me. I think one of the reasons why one of the reasons why I joined Limitless was I want to work on my client service model so that I'm not letting those people down. And so that's part of my process that I'm going through. And like we talked about, once you get that service model behind you, which is built strongly on your why, you will be able to be more bold because you have that
the gears are turning. Like you, it's hard, just like going back to that overwhelm. It's hard to be bold and present and clear and confident when you're spinning the nine plates that the study says that, right? It's not about silver bullets. It's about spinning plates,
right?
Which is why when we asked everyone at the beginning of the call, what are the key characteristics of awesome leaders? What was the one word that came up the most consistently?
It was the vision,
and focus. Like, what are we doing? And like, so that's the understanding that you're spinning plates, like just accept it. So there were two things I wanted to share with you. Patrick was hanging out with me in the break and we were talking about this. I saved this for last because I want it to really hit and land. Out of that research came one really staggering fact. It's all really great stuff, right? But a lot of it, you're like, we intuitively know, and now we understand really great leaders, it's not a crapshoot. Like there are six things that they do consistently. We all obviously do things around that, but there are six things they do really consistently. What they were able to determine in this particular set of research, which is the largest one that's been done the characteristics of successful CEOs, is that, now I want you to keep in mind, this is in a CEO setting. It's going to be more impactful for you in your setting. 70% of the company's success was directly attributable to the CEO. Now, Darren, is that higher or lower for you as a private practice owner who, right, doesn't have an executive team and a giant marketing budget and all those big levers to pull?
Hey, 100% is based on me.
It's going to be like a lot more. You got to have people and process and platforms, but you're all making those decisions, whether to be complacent, whether to push the envelope, whether to make the investment, whether to do the work, whether to, like, whatever it is. Like, what I want you to take away, the invitation from this call is that you are shaping the future of the organization on purpose or not on purpose. And these are the six attributes that are most likely to help you be successful. So we want to frame the conversation through them. But Todd, when you think about these six mindsets and how they've showed up for you, what really landed for your group?
I think, you know, I addressed number two myself, and then Shanna jumped in and I was talking about working with my right-hand person. She's fabulous, and just trying to figure out kind of where the next evolution is of her career and how she fits into the practice going forward as we grow. And Shanna jumped in and said she was in that spot within her own firm. So it was a nice dialogue there. And I think we had a number of people that are solo practitioners, so struggle with, the doing only what you can because you're the only person that can do it.
Issues. That is hard. It is harder when you are the only person. And again, as soon as we can, we want to outsource or delegate. And remember, for those of you who are in that spot, until you're there, block your time like you have different jobs. It is the single biggest thing I can tell you to help you not get stuck there forever is the honest answer. Because it's, Rosanna's like nodding your head, like, don't do that. If you say, hey, I am my admin from 3 to 5 o'clock, that's when I check email, right? Or I have like blocks, right? I'm going to check once in the morning from a service perspective, right? Once in the afternoon. If someone is literally dead or disabled, they're going to call you. Outside of that, everything can wait 8 hours. Like, we're not talking about anything ever going more than 8 hours. Like, can we agree that that is not the end of the world? So that means we can block time in the morning to get really clear on our day. Like, hey, here's what I need to do, right? Client time, or if you need to block days. So I've had clients block time in the morning and the afternoon to be their admin and EA, right? Or client service assistant. What that lets you do, Alexa, is when you're in that spot in that moment, A, you know the work. B, you know how long it takes. So when I was replacing my EA, I told you guys, I literally was like, I'm going to do this in the morning because I'm an early person, right? I can keep everything in my regular schedule. I can do this really early, 2 to 2.5 hours just to get through my email, process it, and make sure that it didn't take me more than 30 minutes a day. So, but what was I able to do by putting it in that container? I knew, A, what was happening because I'm doing it. B, I knew exactly how long it was taking. I was like, oh, it's going to take someone, like, I'm really good at this. I know all the ins and outs. Takes me 2 hours, it's going to take them 3. All right, 3 hours of someone's day is literally just going to be spent processing my inbox. And again, for me, that doesn't mean like filing it. It means making sure the task is set. Hey, Patrick King sent in his new community link for Stephanie to review, right? That gets on my calendar. Time is scheduled for me to do that. If Adam, so all of that is handled. So for me, that was just one of the ways that it showed up. So Todd, I really like the conversation around how you guys are making changes. What's one thing that you will do differently?
You know, for me, probably it's just having a very direct conversation with my right-hand person and just talking about what's important to her and how I can, you know, I mean, I value her greatly. She's been with me for 12 years. She's teetering that role between administrative responsibilities and being very capable of planning and analytics and all that fun stuff. So it's a tough spot as, you know, one of the things that came up, and I'll try to be quick, is just a conversation around how to compensate going forward. Mm-hmm. And one of the people in our group suggested that maybe it's not about a bonus structure. Maybe it's just increased salary, and that would make her happy.
Yeah. She's been with you a long time. We can talk about it in a call or tribe, depending. But like, yeah, I mean, really, you want to look at what's that career ladder look like? The whole point of career ladders is to create a common language between you and the person about what advancement in two ways looks like. And this is what makes it reciprocal, by the way. Contribution and compensation, right? How do we advance your contribution? At level one, you did this, right? At level two, now you're at level three. That's the senior level, right? And then at some point, there's a ceiling, right? Sean, like, the job is the job. We can't pay $150,000 a year for, right, a client. So like, we have to hit, so we need to create that clarity of how that works. And then what's the next level if we want to take that step? Hey, right. So we would have either a hybrid position where, you know, part paraplanner, part sort, and then you can adjust the compensation. So you and I can talk about that in terms of your specifics. Just feel free to reach out and just tag me on Tribe or reach out. But yeah, like when you get that clarity, we often think like they've been here, they know the job, and they do. They really do. But when I go into firms and I do audits, right, where we meet with everyone, and do you know what the teams always tell me they want? It's crazy. Been here 3 years, 8 years. What would you like? Job description and a vision. Why? Well, I moved paper from one side of the desk to the other, and he's a great guy and I really like it, but it'd be nice to know the why. Like, people genuinely want to be connected to what they're doing and why they're doing it and how it makes a difference, as opposed to, right, moving. So she's capable, she's experienced. And now the question is, what's the next level for her? And we feel pressure to provide it, but sometimes it's creating clarity that says, this is what the job is. This is what it could be. Now we can have a conversation about how, as your contribution increases, I think very much your base can and should increase. You just want to define that. And there's loads of examples in the library, but again, reach out. Like, so that as they expand their contribution, it's clear and you can expand their compensation and everybody feels good. Now it's not, hey, I've been here 12 years, I need another raise. It's, hey, this is what the career ladder says. And at some point there's a ceiling. And if you want to talk about moving out of this position, absolutely, let's have that conversation. And then you have to look at the firm and the revenue. But a lot of times in situations like that, like, we might pull in an outsourced, you know, admin or client service person 10 hours a week to just take some of the, I think Dana had a great example earlier that was in the chat, right? Where she's asking people, what would you keep? What would you stop? What would you start? Like, hey, if we got to a place where we could afford 10 hours a week of support time, what would be the most helpful to you, right? To allow you to, right, like, enjoy what you're doing a little bit more and feel like you're contributing. And she'll tell you, and then you can look at the budget and decide that makes sense. It doesn't make sense. Or you can collectively say, hey, that sounds great. We need to add 3 clients to make that possible. Can we make that the goal? Sure. Okay, great. Cause the business ultimately has to support people's growth. That's the challenge in small firms. So you want to make that career ladder clear so that they can make decisions and you can have really proactive conversations about how their contribution and their compensation increases over time. Does that help a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks.
Yeah. And again, for those of you who are on your own, block your time, block your marketing time, block your EA time, block your client service time, right? We're responding to emails, we're calling clients, we're doing, like, really block your time, because it's the only, really the most valuable tool you have to make sure you get out of doing everything, because the habit is to just keep doing it all, because, right, that's what gets it done. So if you can just start to block time, you get a little bit more insight. And then, like we talked with Todd about, what's that next level? Like, what's it going to take to get somebody 5 hours a week? Is that 2 clients? Is it 1 client? The second that you tell your brain, hey, it's Sharda, I want X and it's going to take me 2 clients, your brain's like, all right, let's get on that. And again, all the things we teach you, you can amp that up. But as soon as you get that level of clarity, your brain can lock on. If it's just, this is hard and it takes a lot of time, like, what does my brain do with that? What does it account for? When it's going in the background, right, doing that subconscious stuff all on its own, did I give it a good problem to solve? So that's our job. We have to get really clear with our brain. So when it does the work, we are like, let's give you a better question so that we can get a better answer. Right. Anyone, any pressing issues that came up? Does everyone feel good about the conversation and the takeaways? Did anyone have anything surface that was an issue or concern? Anyone have anything, anyone want to share or be bold or an other move that they're going to implement? Giving you an opportunity to volunteer, Danny Michael.
I'll speak up. We signed a contract with RIA Transition, and are targeting to leave our broker dealer and go RIA by the end of September. So finally, taking the step to follow the vision.
Does that feel like a bold move?
Yeah, there's a lot of unknown that we're still trying to uncover. So, this is the only world we've ever known. So trying to understand kind of what life looks like on the other side is an interesting thought process.
Yeah, there's a going RIA room on Tribe. I know a number of you are doing, there's always a few people every year. That's a really great place to connect. Just talk about the process. I think we've got a lesson on it or a recording in the library and some resources, but like conversation is just really helpful when you're going through that together. So definitely if you can look for some people in there, and you guys definitely connect.
Will do. Thanks.
And so that is a great example of being bold, something that we sort of intuitively want and know we've gotten really clear, but pulling the ripcord actually comes with work. It comes with risk. It comes with potential consequences. Lots of positive potential consequences, but our brains tend to focus on the negative ones when we're making those big changes. That's what we want to watch out for. Hey, if these are the 6 characteristics that are going to help me be a more effective leader of my firm, a more effective operator, so that I can run that excellent business and enjoy the ride and rewards, how can I apply these? So that was really the goal of today's conversation. Did it help you guys? Just again, no new assignments, but just wanted to, as we hit, you know, we're almost halfway through the year, just get really clear on where's there an opportunity, right, to be bolder, to engage with our team, to solve for their psychology, to build a team around us, to leverage our time. What are the things that are going to really move the needle? And how can you apply these lessons in ways that help you to accelerate that success? So we are always honored to have these conversations with you. It was great getting your feedback today. See us in office hours. If you're in virtual, please come to office hours. If you have a specific issue and you want help, let us know and we'll set up time for you. We've started a new process where we'll send you an invite and make sure you get time blocked in office hours. So we can start with those where people really have a need that they've expressed, and we'll answer questions, obviously, and then take it from there. We've got Tribe, right? We can do one-on-one. So please reach out if you're stuck or struggling or stalled in any way. And again, everyone, let's give Melissa some great support. If you can reach out to her on Tribe or support her in any way. You guys have a great day, and I will talk to you soon. I hope today's lesson was helpful and it gave you just a different perspective on how you can excel as you lead your firms.